This week we will be doing Yevamos Daf Hey. We left off in the very first word of Daf Hey. So if we recall, on Daf Gimel Mubiz, we asked a very interesting question. So we know the classic case of Yibum is when you have Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven's married to Rachel, Reuven dies without children, and now Rachel has to do Yibum with Reuven's brother, Shimon. So our mission discussed how if Rachel happens to be one of the 15 Arayos mentioned in the Mishnah to Shimon, then she wouldn't fall to Yibim with him. She wouldn't do Yibim or Chalitza with him. So one of those examples was Achos Isha. If Rachel happens to be Shimon's wife's sister, meaning Shimon married Leah, Rachel's sister, and now Rachel would fall to Shimon, but Shimon can't do Yibim with her because she happens to be Leah's sister. So the Gemara prove that she doesn't do Yibum in the situation where she's Shimon's Achos Isha from the phrase Aleha. So the Gemara had noted that without the Pasuk of Aleha, it seems like the Gemara is assuming that the status quo would have been that Shimon would have to do Yibum on his sister-in-law. Now, why would that be the case? Isn't it an Isser to be with one's sister-in-law? So the Gemara assumed that, well, we have a concept of Asei Docha Lo Saseh, that the mitzvah aseh of Yibum would be docha alos aseh of an arayos. So the Gemara wanted to know two things. Number one, where's the general source of aseh docha alos aseh? Where do we know that concept from? And number two, by arayos it's different, because the isser to be with one's sister-in-law is not a regular alos aseh. It's a alos aseh that has karis with it. So where do we know that an aseh could be docha alos aseh with karis? So Dav Dalad, we spent trying to answer question number one, which is the source of Aseh Docha Lo Saseh, and we concluded that at least according to Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, we have a source. What's the source? Well, it's from the juxtaposition of the mitzvah of tzitzis and the Isser of Kalayim, which tells me that the mitzvah of tzitzis overrides the Isser of Kalayim, and I'm permitted to wear tzitzis with Kalayim in them. But the Gemara pointed out that when you darish smuchim, juxtapositions, it has to be muchach, meaning it seems like the pasuk's in the wrong place, or it has to be mufne, meaning there has to be extraneous words. So Tadir Ishmael said that the way we know Aseh Docha Lo Saseh was from the juxtaposition of tzitzis to kalayim, and what was mufne, what were the extraneous words? It was tzemeru pishtim. Why? Because according to Tadir Ishmael, the fact that the Torah, when it uses the word beged, Beged always means Semeru Pishtim, as we know from Hilchos Negayim. And therefore the fact that it was specifically stated Semeru Pishtim by Tzitzis, even though it already says Beged, must be Semeru Pishtim or extra, and therefore they're there to teach us that Aseh Docha Lo Saseh. So now we're turning over to Hey Amin Aleph, and we're saying, that all makes sense. Teinach L'Tana Debei Rishmael, according to Tana Debei Rishmael, who learns that Beged in general refers to Semeru Pishtim, and therefore they had the word Semeru Pishtim as extra words, which can be used to teach us the Halacha Aseh Docha Lo Saseh. But L'Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who don't have the same drasha of Beged always referring to Semeru Pishtim, therefore, when it says Semeru Pishtim by Tzitzis, those are not extra letters. Then according to the Rabbanan, Minalahu, where do they know the source that Naseh is Docha Elos Aseh? According to the Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, Nafkalahu me Rosho. They learned it out from the word Rosho. What are we talking about over here? So we're talking about a Metzora. We know the Halacha is that a Metzora, someone who has leprosy, at the end of his 7-day period, he has to bring a korban, go to the mikvah, he has to shave his entire body. So, says the Gemara, Ma Tama Lomar, why does the Pasuk say that the Metzora specifically has to shave Rosho if we know he's shaving his whole body? So, the answer is, Levisha Nemar, Lusakifu Pa'as Roshchem. We know, in general, there's a halacha for all of us, that we're not allowed to shave off our peis, right? Certain parts of the head, and therefore, Shomea ani af mitzora kin. I would have thought that, yes, the Torah says a mitzora has to shave his body, but certainly that has to exclude the peis region, which Jews are not allowed to shave. Talmud lomar rosho. Therefore, the Torah has to specifically tell me that a mitzora is permitted to shave even his peis. So what do you see from there? You have an aseh, a mitzvah, a positive commandment of a mitzora to shave his peis, his head. And there's a losase, a negative commandment, not to shave his payas. Oh, you see perfectly that aseh is docha los aseh. Now the Gemara just points out, parenthetically, the kasavar haitana, hakavas kol harosh, shmei hakafa. When we talk about the isser of shaving payas, there's machlokest of how one violates that isser. Because the word peah literally means corner, which would mean one cannot shave the corner of his head. Implication being, there are other parts of his head that are not being shaved. So, pashut pshat of the pasuk means, don't round off the corner, leaving over other hair. So the question is, if I shave my entire head to a zero, and including the peis, did I violate shaving my peis? So you would say, well, yes, I shaved my peis. Yeah, but I didn't leave over any other hair. So maybe the isser is to round off the corners while leaving other hair. So the fact that the metzora is going to be shaving his entire head, and yet we're using that mitzvah say in competition with the los say of cutting off the payas, it must be that this tan is assuming that the same way there's an isser to just cut off the payas themselves, leaving over the hair, this tan holds that shaving the entire head would also be a violation of shaving the payas. And nonetheless, the mitzvah say of the metzora shaving his head and his entire body would be docha, the losa say of shaving the peis. So this is the source. So the Gemara says, this is the source, and therefore we're going to use this to apply to every other case of aseh docha losa say. We're trying to find a paradigm. We're trying to find a case that's representative of general halachos. Over here, there's something unique. Ikal mifrach mala lav da hakafa shekin lav she'ina shava b'kol. The difference over here, the reason why this halacha is unique, is that this isser shaving the peis does not apply to all Jews. What do you mean? Says Rashi, it doesn't apply to women. So because this lav doesn't apply to everyone, maybe that's the reason the aseh is doche, because the lav's not so strong. But we wouldn't be able to use that as a source for, let's say, a sister-in-law doing yibum, and therefore the aseh being doche, because maybe since that lav applies to everyone, it applies to both Shimon and to Rachel, meaning the yavam and the yavama, the isser applies, so maybe we wouldn't be able to use hakafas kol harosh as a paradigm to apply to other cases. Therefore, the Gemara will look for another alternative source of aseh doche los aseh. Interestingly, though, just one point on this, the Aruch Lener actually raises a question, which is, how does the Gemara even have a Havamina that this could prove aseh docha los aseh? We have a general concept when it comes to aseh docha los aseh, that the aseh and the los aseh have to be be'idna. Be'idna means happening at the same time. If the aseh is happening now, and a los aseh happens an hour later, no one's going to say that the aseh is docha los aseh. They have to happen at the same time. So the Aruch Lener says, if that's the case, when does one violate the los aseh of shaving peis? When he cuts even two hairs of the peis. When is the mitzvah makayim, the mitzvah of shaving? It's when he shaves his whole body. So they're not happening consecutively at the same time. So how can this prove it? How did the Gemara assume they were be'idna? So Aruch Lener answers, two answers. Number one, he says, it must be be'idna doesn't mean that the aseh and the los aseh have to be happening from start to finish coinciding. Rather, it just means that they have to overlap. So, he says it must be the cases that, let's say, a metzora only had one hair of one peis. Every other hair on his body is already gone. Therefore, at the moment he violates the los aseh of shaving that last hair of the peis, or two hairs, he will also violate the aseh. But more simply, the Aruch Lener alternatively says that the be'idna doesn't mean both things have to end at the same time. They just have to overlap. So even though the aseh is not complete after two hairs, he's still involved in the aseh and the los aseh at some point at the same time, and that counts as be'idna. So says the Gemara, let's try to prove a different source for aseh doche los aseh. Ela asya mizikno. Let's try to prove it from the fact an isser of shaving the beard, titanya zikno. Now this refers to an isser of kohanim shaving their beards. So ma tamalomar levisha emar upazakan logalichu shomeyani afkoi mitzora kain. So kohanim in general have an isser of shaving their beards. So what happens if a kohen becomes a mitzora? Well, the pasuk says that a mitzora has to shave his beard. So you would think that, well, but he's a kohen.
And a Kohen is not allowed to shave his beard. Talmud Lomar says the Gemara, Zikno. So that's the Asei Dehulus Asei. The fact that a Kohen Mitzora is permitted to shave his beard, has a mitzvah to shave his beard, even though a Kohen is not allowed to shave his beard. It must be the Asei, the mitzvah of a Mitzora shaving his beard, overrides the Isser of a Kohen not shaving his beard. But the Gemara now wonders, well, we said before that we're not going to use any lav that's not shav of a kol. Doesn't apply to everyone as a paradigm for other halachos. So here we're talking about a Kohen. That's clearly not shav of a kol. So how are we even entertaining this as a possibility? Says the Gemara, Vim inu inyin lalav shino shav of a kol, tinu inyin lalav shav of a kol. The answer is, we just saw 5 lines ago that Rosho already covered cases of lavs that are ino shava b'kol. So it would be unnecessary for Zikno to teach me that an asei would be doche elos asei that was not shava b'kol. Because we already had that earlier with the mitzvah, with the isser of shaving the peis, which doesn't apply to women. And therefore, the Gemara uses a method where if Zikno can't be teaching me something because we already learned it elsewhere, we can use it, it's free, to teach me something that I want to use it for. And therefore, even though technically the law that we're discussing here of shaving the beard is a law of shaving the shav b'kol, but since we already covered that with the word rosho, we're therefore able to use it to teach me the general principle of asei dochelos asei by any law, even when the law is not, it is shav b'kol. Says the Gemara, the problem is over here that there is something else that's unique about this Isser when it comes to Kohanim, which is Vakati Itzterich. You know why I would need a pasuk to tell me that the Asei is Doche Lelos Asei over here by Kohanim? That's because Savtei Chamina, I would have thought that Shiny Kohanim are different, Hol V'Riba and Akosu of Mitzvos Yaseiros. And therefore, Afiu Lav She'ino Shavu B'Kol Lo Dachi. Kamash Malon De Dachi. Meaning we would have thought that since Kohanim, the Torah has given them more mitzvos than other Jews, that they have certain chumros, and therefore I would have thought that even if asei will be doche los asei under normal circumstances, when it comes to Kohanim, maybe asei is not doche los asei. So maybe the reason the Torah says zikno when it comes to a kohen mitzora is to dispel that notion and to tell me that even though you would have thought that asei should not be doche los asei by Kohanim, kamash v'lan zikno that it is. But again, we wouldn't be able to use that as a basis, as a paradigm to apply to other cases. So attempt number 3 for the Rabbanim. Ela osya me rosho dehachtana. Rather, we're going to use the word rosho, but in a different context. Ditanya rosho. We have the word rosho. So now, here, what are we talking about? Again, a mitzora's head. But here, it's a different isser. Mata molomar, vishenemar, ta'ar lo yavar al rosho. It's not about shaving the peis anymore. It's about using a razor to shave one's head. So the fact that we have a mitzvah of shaving a head with a razor for a mitzvah, and yet there's a general isser for a person to shave his head with a razor. So shomeani af mitzvah v'nazir kein. But here it's unique because this isser of shaving with a razor, right, for me and you, for regular people, that would only apply to the beard. But a nazir has a different isser. So here, we're not only talking about a regular mitzora, we're talking about a mitzora who's also a nazir. So why does he run into problems? Because a nazir, we know he has to let his hair grow. He's not, a razor shouldn't come upon his head. But a mitzora has to shave his head with a razor. So you have conflicting ideas. So you show me ani af mitzora v'nazir kin. Let's say you have a mitzora who's also a nazir. So now it comes to the Mitzvah's time. He's supposed to shave his head with a razor. You might say, well, he's a Nazir. And a Nazir is not allowed to shave with a razor. So the Mitzvah should hold off. Tamaloma Rosho. Therefore, the Pasuk tells me by a Mitzvah, seemingly that even if the Mitzvah is a Nazir, he should still shave his head with a razor, even though a Nazir is normally not allowed to shave with a razor. So you see very clearly, Asay, the Mitzvah's Asay of shaving with a razor for a mitzora overrides and is docha the los asei of a nazir shaving with a razor, says the Gemara. But the problem is that the case of nazir is unique, and therefore you couldn't use it to learn out to other cases. Why? Ikla mifrach, you could ask a question. Mala nazir mitzora shekin yishnu b'sheila. The problem is that when it comes to a nazir mitzora, you have a little bit of a unique circumstance in that We know a Nazir can always do something called She'ila. She'ila is whenever a person makes a neder, there's a way to get out of the neder, which is you go to a Chacham and you ask the Chacham to be matched the neder. Why is he, on what basis is he being matched the neder? There are several bases, but the primary basis would be She'ila, that if I would have known that this would have been the case, I never would have made the neder. So the fact that the lav of Nazir can be undone, perhaps that speaks to the weakness of the lav, and therefore it wouldn't be a good case of paradigm. And says the Gemara further, if you don't say that the case of Nazir is different and can't be used as a paradigm, because a Nazir also always can be She'ila, you could always undo the nether of Nazirus, right? We have a rule generally, which we know to be true, there's not much arguing about, which is that even if you hold asay is docha los asay, an asay can be docha a los asay that also has an asay with it. So, ligmor mi nazir. If nazir wasn't unique, then that would actually teach me the opposite rule. Why? Because you would have the asay of mitzora telling me to shave my head with a razor. You would have a los asay of the nazir not shaving, but you also have an asay of kadosh yiya gedol pera, meaning the nazir has an asay to keep his hair in good condition, to not have it cut. So you have an iser not to cut the hair, and an asay to keep the hair uncut. It's two sides of the same coin, but it's still an asay and a los asay. So if nazir wasn't unique, then seemingly nazir can be the foundation for the wrong halacha. The Nazir would theoretically teach me that Naseh is Docha Alos Haseh Ve'aseh. Ella, it must be, why don't we learn that halacha from Nazir? Ella, mi Nazir, my tam alogar minun. It must be because Nazir is a weird case. It's a unique rule. Dik lemifrach, because you could ask, Shekin yishnu b'she'ela. It's just a different case because the Nazirus could always be undone. Hachanami, therefore here too, this can't be a foundational case to prove Haseh Docha Alos Haseh. Ik lemifrach, Shekin yishnu b'she'ela. Because here too, Nazirus can always be undone, and therefore we're not going to use it as a foundation to prove asay docha los asay, says the Gemara. So we attempted three sources to prove the Rabbanon and where they hold asay docha los asay. Either it was Rosho, or it was Zikno, or it was a different Rosho. El Olam, turning over to Hamad Bez, Mikra Kama. The Rabbanon have to agree, it's from the same Pasuk that Tana de Bereshma learned for. Meaning it's the pasuk of tzitzis and kalayim. Aye, but the problem, the reason why we didn't want to say that initially, is they don't hold semeru pishim, those words are extra. So now the Rabban, if they're going to learn from that pasuk, they have to come up with a mufna. They need to find words that are extra, that can then teach them the halacha, to be dorish the smuchin. Says the Gemara, im kain lemakra tzitzis tasalacha. The pasuk should have said, make for yourself tzitzis, gedilim lamali. Why does it use the word gedilim to describe tzitzis? That seems like a extra word or a unique word. Shmamina lafnuye. The fact that the Torah uses a strange word to describe tzitzis, it must be that word is unique and we can use it to teach me the halacha of smuchin and to say asay dechulos asay. So according to this, the Rabbana would hold, it's from the word gedilim. Says the Gemara, but that word gedilim is not open. It's not a word that's extra that we can then use to teach me this, because ha'il shi'uru hu da'asa. We need the word gedilim in general to teach me the number of tzitzit strings that I need. How do we know that? Because gedil, if I only had the word gedil, that's shnayim. That would teach me two strings, or one string folded over. So, or two strings. So, gedilim arba. Gedilim teaches me four strings. Now, we know in our tzitzis, there also are four strings. Why they look like eight? Because we fold over the four strings. So what is Gedilim teaching me? That you have to have four strings of tzitzis, which you then fold over to make eight. And asa gedil uposlehu mitocho. Rashi says, what you're supposed to do is leave the end of the thread untwined and hanging loosely. You start tying it, and then you leave the end hanging, as we do. So you see, Gedilim is not open to teach me asay deocholos asay. Says the Gemara, im kain. Okay, so now the Rabbanu will shift to a new word or phrase within the Parsha of Tzitzis and Kalayim. Im kain, le makra, lo silbas shatnes semru pishtim. It should have just said, you can't wear shatnes of wool and linen. Yachdav lamui. Why did the Torah use the word yachdav? That seems extra. Maybe the word yachdav, shmamina, lafnuye, the word yachdav is extra and can therefore teach us that the juxtaposition of tzitzis to kalayim teaches us, asei dechulos, asei. Says the Gemara, Yachdav also we need to teach me something. It's teaching me that what's considered joined when it comes to shatnis. You have one linen. How together do they have to be attached to be considered kalayim? So what the Gemara says, you need shtei tkifos. You need two needle points. Essentially one stitch. As long as you join it together with one stitch, that's considered kalayim. But if it was only tkifa achas, it was one needle point. It never went both ways. So it didn't make a stitch. That wouldn't be considered yachdav. So yachdav teaching me something else. So I can't use yachdav lafnuye to teach me asei dechulos asei. Says the Gemara, okay, third suggestion. Imkain, lichta rachmana lo silbash. Semru pishtim yachdav. Don't wear wool and linen together. Shatnis lamali. The word shatnis is a strange word. We would have known everything we need to know without that word. It must be the word shatnis itself is extra and can be used to teach us asei docholos asei, says the Gemara, but we need the word shatnis to teach me halacha. Again, along the same lines that we said earlier about how connected do the wool and linen have to be, so the word shatnis can actually be a contraction of these three words. Shua, they have to be combed, tavoi, spun, and nuz, woven, meaning only when these wool and linen are intertwined in a very serious way, either combed or spun or woven, that's when you're chayiv in kalayim. So you see, shatnis is already learned from that. The Gemara says, elakula mishatnis nafka. The Gemara says, no, but we still could learn it out from shatnis. As Rashi points out, the ilif nuri lechud, nichtav lo silbash kalayim temer upishtim, the Gemara is saying that we could have learned out that they have to be very close together from other ways. The fact that it used such a weird word of shatnis can, yes, teach me that halacha, but it also is extra enough that can teach me that it's open, mufna, to teach me asei decholos asei. Period. So we've spent the entire amud and a half until now looking for the source of where the Rabbanan know asei docholos asei, what's mufnet, what words are extra. Lamaskana, we're saying it's from the word shatnis. The word shatnis is extra, and therefore the Rabbanan say, as opposed to the Tanna Dvei Shmuel, who said it was from the word semru pishtim, according to the Rabbanan, it's from the word shatnis. Good. So that all answered question number one, at least the way we're ordering it, from Gilman Beis, which was, what's the source of asei docholos asei in general? But, if you remember, we had another question. Our second question was that, well, by Yibum and Arayos, it's not a regular Ase and Alos Ase. It's an Ase and Alos Ase Shishbo Karis, meaning those Arayos carry with them a punishment of Karis. So we wanted to know, without the word Aleha, I would have thought that the mitzvah of Yibum would be Docha Alos Ase Shishbo Karis. Where do we have a precedent for that? Where do we ever find that an Ase is Docha Alos Ase Shishbo Karis? So now we're going to have to come to answer that question. Says the Gemara, Ashkechon da'asi asei b'dachi lo sasei greida. So we've answered, according to the Rav Shmuel, according to the Rabbanon, the source of, in general, regular asei doch lo sasei. But lo sasei sheish bo karis, hecha ashkechon da'dachi. Where do we find, ever, a precedent that an asei is doch lo sasei sheish bo karis, de'ithrich aleha lemisra, that we would then need the word aleha to come and tell me it's usher? Because without that pasuk, I would think the asei is really docha to los asei shishbo karis. So the Gemara now is going to try to use a combination of three different halachos and is going to reject them all. V'chi teima neilach mi mila. Oh, maybe we find asei derech los asei shishbo karis from mila. What's the case of mila? Well, when a person does a mila bizmana on Shabbos, so he's doing the asei of mila, and you have a los asei on Shabbos, of doing a malacha on Shabbos, and there's karis with it. Why is there karis with it? Because, according to Rashi al Torah, Parsha Kisisa, you can get karis on a malacha on Shabbos if you do the malacha b'mezid without hasra, without a prior warning. So you have a lav on Shabbos, which has the potential for karis, and yet we know we do a mila on Shabbos when the mila falls out on Shabbos bizmana. So maybe that's a source that I say is dochalos I say sheish bo karis. Gemara says, but mila is different; it's unique. We can't use it as a paradigm. Mala mila shekin nichrusu ala shalosh asrei brisos. In the parsha of mila in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes 13 covenants with Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's very chashuv, it's very special, it's different. We would not be able to use that as a source to apply to other cases. What about, says the Gemara, attempt number two, Mipesach? What about the fact that when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we still shecht the Karban Pesach on Shabbos? So it's the same logic. You have the mitzvah asay of shechting Karban Pesach, you have the isra of doing the malacha on Shabbos, which can have kares if you do have a mezer without hasra. The fact that we're still shechting Karban Pesach, shouldn't that teach me that asay dochalos asay shibol kares? So we say, no, mala Pesach, shekin kares. The difference is that this is one of two asays in the Torah that has kares associated with the asay. Meaning, normally we think of kares as being joined with a punishment of a lav. But here, if a person doesn't bring the Karban Pesach when he's supposed to, he actually can get kares from it. So you see the asay is so strict, it's so strong, that wouldn't be able to be a proper paradigm to use as a basis to learn other cases from. Attempt number three, what about mitamid? What about the fact that I'm allowed to shecht back then they used to shecht the carbon tamid every day, including Shabbos. You're shechting a carbon, you have an asay of mitzvah tamid, a los asay of shechita on Shabbos, plus it could be kares if it's bemezid below hasra, and yet we bring the carbon tamid. No, mala tamid shekein tadir. You can't use tamid as a foundation because the carbon tamid is brought every day, in contrast to Pesach and Mila, which are not everyday type occurrences. So the Gemara says, mechad lo asya. So it's true, from these three cases, Mila, Pesach, and Tamid, I can't learn from either any one of them individually because they each have something unique to them, but Tesi Meitarti, let's learn out from two of them in combination. Says the Gemara, well, Mehai Tesi, which two? Even the combinations of two have something unique that we would not be able to use to apply to other cases. Mi Mila u Pesach, with Mila and Pesach, Shekein Karis. They both have Karis. Now, it's interesting, because before, when we said Mila was unique, we said Mila was unique because of the 13 brisos. So what does it mean Mila as Karis? So the Karis by Mila, Tosfos Shanah points this out. The Karis by Mila and the Karis by Pesach are different. The Karis by Karban Pesach is that when I don't bring my Karban Pesach when I'm supposed to, I get Karis. By Mila, if a baby's not mal, is not circumcised on the eighth day, there's no Karis. The Karis would be if you go your entire life without a Mila, and then die, so you're chayav karis for not having a Mila. A gadol who doesn't do it, but that karis never actually actualizes, because you always have the potential to still do it. But at least there is karis associated with not doing a Mila when you're supposed to. And therefore, Mila and Pesach are unique. Mi Pesach utamid, you can't learn out from Pesach and Tamid in combination. Shekein, Sarach Gavoa, because those are both karbonos, which are kudshim. That can't be learned out to other cases. What about Mimila Utamid from Bris Mila and from Karban Tamid? Shekein Yeshnan Lifnei Hadibur. The Karban Tamid and Bris Mila were both taught to Klal Yisrael. They were both in practice already before Matan Torah. Says the Gemara, Va'aliba demanda Amar, Ole Shekiv Yisrael B'Midbar, Olas Tamid Have. As we should remember, already from Chagiga, wasn't too long ago, there was a Machlokas in the Gemara over there, Andav Vav, whether when the Pasuk says that they brought an Ola in the Midbar, was the Ola they brought in the Midbar an Olas Re'iyah or an Olas Tamid? So this assumes the one who says that they brought an Olas Tamid before Matan Torah must be assuming like the opinion in Chagiga, which says that when the Pasuk says they brought Olas in the Midbar, they brought Olas Tamid. So you can't use Ola and Mila because they were both said prior to Matan Torah. Very interesting over here because Now we seem to be saying that the fact that something was said before Matan Torah shows us that in some way they're stronger. But actually, we have a Tosfos in Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Ches, which quotes Yerushalmi, which says the opposite. That the assay of eating matzah is not Dochah, the Los assay of Chadash, because the assay of matzah was taught before Matan Torah. So it seems like something being taught before Matan Torah actually makes it weaker. So which is it? Our Gemara seems to imply something being taught before Matan Torah makes it stronger, whereas the Tosfos over there in Yerushalmi sounds like something taught before Matan Torah makes it weaker. So Rav Yosef Engel, in his Sefer Beis HaOtzer, He explains the machlokas, the Baal Yerushalmi, was what were the status of the Jewish people prior Matan Torah. Our Gemara, the Bavli holds, they had the status of Jewish people, even though they didn't have the Torah yet. And therefore, the fact that they were taught something in Aseh before Matan Torah, when they were Jews, that shows it stronger. I mean, they got something when they were Jews quicker. However, the Yerushalmi holds that before Matan Torah, we had the status of Bnei Noach. And therefore, it would be worse, it would be weaker to get a mitzvah then, as opposed to getting it after Matan Torah, when we were Jews. By Pesach and Milah and the Talmud, they actually have both, in that they were taught before and after Matan Torah. Whereas Matzah, let's say, the Yerushalmi mentioned, that Tosfos and Kiddushin, was not taught again after Matan Torah. So that explains a little bit about whether something being taught before Matan Torah makes an Aseh stronger or makes the Aseh weaker. Says the Gemara, Umikulunami Shkin Yishlutin Adibor, meaning both Mila, Pesach, and Tamid were all taught prior to Matan Torah, and therefore they would not be a good foundation to then apply to other cases. So we'll stop here, but we will continue in this discussion next time about where do we have a precedent of Aseh Doch Lo Aseh Shish Bo Kares, which then we would need the Pasuk of Aleha to come and take me out of and tell me that without the Pasuk, I would have thought that a man, Shimon, can do the mitzvah Aseh of Yibum on his sister-in-law, even though that would be Aseh Doch Lo Aseh Shish Bo Kares.